Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is wonderful Wednesday, April 18th, 2012. My name is Paul Hutchings, dialing in from Southeast Idaho. This is the Think and Grow Rich call. I want to welcome you wholeheartedly to the line this morning. I want to thank you for taking some time out of your morning to get on this call and join every person on this line who is committed to climbing bigger and taller mountains in their lives. And that's what we're doing. We've got people on the line here who are working on climbing their, you know, maybe you could call it the first mountain of getting over that income goal that's going to free them financially from the job, the daily grind. We've got people on here that have topped that summit and are looking at bigger and you know, $25,000 a month. We've got people here on the call who have made millions of dollars in the home business industry and have, you know, mountains in front of them where they're looking at generating well over $1 million a year residually. Folks, that's what we're doing here on this call every morning, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern. We are learning to climb mountains together. We are helping each other. We are masterminding with one another. You know, I was talking to one of our callers yesterday, Todd from Baltimore, and he made a very interesting comment to me. He said, Paul, you know, he goes, this call that we're getting on every morning, it's absolutely amazing. And he's like, it's like, and he was searching his memory for an experience that described what this was like. And he said, you know, Paul, I played competitive baseball from when I was a young man, very young, teen years, all the way up into my early 20s. And I was on, you know, all-star teams where we had high-performing athletes working together in unity and harmony. And it's a thing of beauty when high-performance athletes come together and they can work together in unison and achieve amazing things. And that was the experience that he found in his memory bank to describe what's happening on this call. And, you know, I could really identify with him because on this call, what we do, folks, is we go through a piece of the book Think and Grow Rich. And just so you know, Napoleon Hill, the author of this book, not only analyzed over 500 of the most financially wealthy, successful people on the planet, but he also closely studied and analyzed over 15,000 other people who would be termed or classed in that category of those who failed to reach financial success, of those who failed to get what they want out of life, or as Napoleon put it, those who struggled through life, and struggled was the word for a meager existence, and was not ever able to break through and climb that first initial summit. So we use that as a textbook because it is a textbook. It contains the laws, the principles that if we learn, we understand, and we apply on a daily basis, there is absolutely no reason why we ourselves cannot climb that first initial hill and then that next mountain behind it and then that bigger mountain behind it. And in doing so, while we're climbing those mountains, turn around, reach our hands down the slope a little bit and reach our left hand down and grab one person and reach our right hand down and grab another person and pull as many people up with us on that all-star team that this truly is through this mastermind portion of the call. I thought that was a beautiful analogy that Todd shared with me. And that's absolutely what it is. Again, there are people on this call who have earned millions of dollars. Ponder that for a moment. Imagine if you could plug in on a daily basis to people who are not only earning hundreds, not only thousands, not only tens of thousands, but literally have earned millions of dollars from home. Would that be a valuable asset for you to plug into on a daily basis to get some ideas and some coaching? Well, the answer for me is absolutely yes. So that being said, folks, I'm excited to be alive. I'm excited to be climbing new mountains. You know, just yesterday, Todd inspired me to go out and place a Craigslist ad, which I had never done before. And within about 30 minutes, I had 6 leads of people who told me almost everything I wanted to know about them. And I was amazed. And that was a new mountain for me to climb. 1 ad in my local area, 6 new people to talk to. And I'm just excited. New challenges, new things we can do on a daily basis to move forward in our business. Now, that being said, we've been going through one of the closing chapters in the book, Think and Grow Rich, which is entitled The 6 Ghosts of Fear. And we know that in order to climb those mountains that we are committed to climb, one of the things that can act as an obstruction and as a deterrent and as chains that fetter us and hold us down to that base camp and not allow us to climb those peaks are fears and they're ghosts, as Napoleon Hill calls them. They're literally ghosts. They don't exist but in our minds, and we need to understand what they are so that we can identify them and eliminate them from our minds and better develop that positive state of mind known as faith. And the first two fears that top the list, number one, fear of poverty. Number two, fear of criticism. And today we're going to jump into the next two fears. The first one is the fear of ill health. This fear may be traced to both physical and social heredity. It is closely associated as to its origin with the causes of fear of old age and the fear of death, because it leads one closely to the border of terrible worlds of which man knows not, but concerning which he has been taught some discomforting stories. The opinion is somewhat general also that certain unethical people engaged in the business of selling health have had not a little to do with keeping alive the fear of ill health. In the main, man fears ill health because of the terrible pictures which have been planted in his mind of what may happen if death should overtake him. He also fears it because of the economic toll which it may claim. A reputable physician estimated that 75% of all people who visit physicians for professional service are suffering with hypochondria, imaginary illness. It has been shown most convincingly that the fear of disease, even where there is not the slightest cause for fear, often produces the physical symptoms of the disease feared. Powerful and mighty is the human mind. It builds or it destroys. Playing upon this common weakness of fear of ill health, dispensers of patent medicines have reaped fortunes. This form of imposition upon credulous humanity became so prevalent some 20 years ago that Collier's Weekly Magazine conducted a bitter campaign against some of the worst offenders in the patent medical business. During the flu epidemic, which broke out during World War, the mayor of New York City took drastic steps to check the damage which people were doing themselves through their inherent fear of ill health. He called in the newspaper men and said to them, "Gentlemen, I feel it necessary to ask you not to publish any scare headlines concerning the flu epidemic. Unless you cooperate with me, we will have a situation which we cannot control." The newspapers quit publishing stories about the flu, and within 1 month, the epidemic had been successfully checked. Through a series of experiments conducted some years ago, it was proved that people may be made ill by suggestion. We conducted this experiment by causing three acquaintances to visit the victims, each of whom asked the question, "What ails you?" "You look terribly ill," the first questioner usually provoked a grin and nonchalant, "Oh, nothing, I'm all right," from the victim. The second questioner usually was answered with the statement, "I don't know exactly, but I do feel badly." The third questioner was usually met with the frank admission that the victim was actually feeling ill. Try this on an acquaintance if you doubt that it will make him uncomfortable, but do not carry the experiment too far. There is a certain religious sect whose members take vengeance upon their enemies by the hexing method. They call it placing a spell on the victim. There is overwhelming evidence that disease sometimes begins in the form of a negative thought impulse. Such an impulse may be passed from one mind to another by suggestion, or created by an individual in his own mind. A man who is blessed with more wisdom than this incident might indicate once said, "When anyone asks me how I feel, I always want to answer by knocking him down." Doctors send patients into new climates for their health because a change of mental attitude is necessary. The seed of fear of ill health lives in every human mind. Worry, fear, discouragement, disappointment in love and business affairs cause this seed to germinate and grow. The recent business depression kept the doctors on the run because every form of negative thinking may cause ill health. Disappointments in business and in love stand at the head of the list of causes of fear of ill health. A young man suffered a disappointment in love which sent him to a hospital. For months, he hovered between life and death. A specialist in suggestive therapeutics was called in. The specialist changed nurses, placing him in charge of a very charming young woman who began by pre-arrangement with the doctor to make love to him on the first day of her arrival on the job. Within 3 weeks, the patient was discharged from the hospital, still suffering, but with an entirely different malady. He was in love again. The remedy was a hoax, but the patient and the nurse were later married. Both are in good health at the time of this writing. Symptoms of the fear of ill health. The symptoms of this almost universal fear are 1. Autosuggestion, the habit of negative use of self-suggestion by looking for and expecting to find the symptoms of all kinds of disease, enjoying imaginary illness and speaking of it as being real. The habit of trying all fads and isms recommended by others as having therapeutic value, talking to others of operations, accidents, and other forms of illness, experimenting with diets, physical exercises, reducing systems without professional guidance, trying home remedies, patent medicines, and quack remedies. 2, hypochondria, the habit of talking of illness, concentrating the mind upon disease and expecting its appearance until a nervous break occurs. Nothing that comes in bottles can cure this condition. It is brought on by negative thinking, and nothing but positive thought can effect a cure. Hypochondria, a medical term for imaginary disease, is said to do as much damage on occasion as the disease one fears might do. Most so-called cases of nerves come from imaginary illness. Exercise. Fear of ill health often interferes with proper physical exercise and results in overweight by causing one to avoid outdoor life. Susceptibility. Fear of ill health breaks down nature's body resistance and creates a favorable condition for any form of disease one may contact. The fear of ill health often is related to the fear of poverty, especially in the case of the hypochondriac who constantly worries about the possibility of having to pay doctor's bills, hospital bills, etc. This type of person spends much time preparing for sickness, talking about death, saving money for cemetery lots and burial expenses, etc. Self-coddling. The habit of making a bid for sympathy, using imaginary illness as the lure. People often resort to this trick to avoid work. The habit of feigning illness to cover plain laziness or to serve as an alibi for lack of ambition. Intemperance. The habit of using alcohol or narcotics to destroy pains such as headaches, neuralgia, etc., instead of eliminating the cause. The habit of reading about illness and worrying over the possibility of being stricken by it. The habit of reading patent medicine advertisements. And, you know, I think we'll stop there. We'll learn about this one fear today, the fear of ill health. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. It's a fascinating discovery to me to really realize that a lot of the illnesses that happen in the world and a lot of the way that we feel, whether good or bad, results to our state of mind. And one of the things that we can do as a takeaway from learning about this, if we're not already doing it, is to embed a belief inside our daily repetition, our daily manifesto, our daily affirmation, whatever you want to call it. When we're going through the major definite purpose and the self-confidence formula, have a statement in there on health. I do have in mind, you know, where I say to myself, I enjoy great physical health and I exercise daily, I have great energy, on and on, so on and so forth, however you want to put it. But planting that seed in your mind on a daily basis is going to cause you to fulfill that in your life and focus on the good and eliminate some of the bad. So excited to hear the discussion, and let me open up the lines here. *6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear from you today on this 3rd fear, the fear of ill health.
Hey, Paul, Mike Nelson.
Good morning, Mike Nelson.
No, now you forgot my name. Hey, I used to work when I had a job. I used to, there was an old guy, he was on what he claimed was his glide pattern for retirement. He started that glide at about 2 years before he retired. But anyway, on a daily basis, I'd walk up and he'd be all jovial and say, "Hi, Mike, how's it going?" And I'd say, "Joe, are you feeling all right?" "Well, yeah, I feel pretty good." And I'd say, "Really? You just look don't look like yourself." And around 10 o'clock, I'd go back to walk by his office, and his light would be off, and say, "Where'd Joe go?" "Oh, he went home. He wasn't feeling very good." I'm like, "Oh my!"
You cursed this poor man.
I better quit doing that, you know. So, just a personal experience. It does. The powerful mind is something to you have to be cautious of, I guess. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Appreciate that real life example, Mike. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, Paul.
Yes, is that Bill Winch?
Bill Winch here. How you doing?
Excellent. Good morning, Bill.
Listen, I had a mom who is a hypochondriac, and when we were growing up, she had asthma the same as I did, but somewhere along the line, when we were teens, she was doing fine, but as we start getting older, she went to the doctor for everything. She was on so much medication. It was one after the other after the other. He was giving her placebos, but he was prescribing medication. In our house, it was like a pharmacy. From the nightstand on each side of her bed, they had drawers of medicine. You open up her closets with three sliding doors. The whole top shelf was medicine. You go into the bathroom, there was medicine in the medicine cabinet. The whole cabinet where we kept our linens, the whole one door had shelves on with medicine. The living room, where the TV was, where drawers would slide out, that was loaded with medicine, one after the other. And she finally died of over-medication. And it was just really a shame to watch what the doctors did by just keep giving her medicine after medicine. And, you know, it just was really a shame. And I just never forget that. Back to you, Paul.
Bill, thanks for sharing that. Sorry to hear that happened to your mother. But what a powerful lesson for all of us who are within the sound of your voice to hear and take into our lives. You know, what does this have to do with, you know, what we're doing on this call and having success? Folks, if we don't have our health, we can't do much of anything. It's been said that health is the number one treasure, one of the greatest treasures. And so it's vital that we understand these things and nurture good health within our lives. So that we have the ability to climb those mountains. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, it's Lindy.
Hi, Lindy.
How are you doing?
Great. How are you today?
Oh, fantastic. But one of the things that I've noticed over the last couple of decades is the way that society wants to put labels on things that they don't understand, like bipolar disorder, and then all of a sudden there's like an epidemic of bipolar disorder in the country, and you know, this kind of goes into that, and it kind of struck me whenever the mayor asked the newspapers not to put the flu epidemic out there anymore. And it's the same thing, we're bombarded with these things on television and print ads and billboards everywhere we go. It's just everywhere. And, you know, in the theaters, they used to use the subliminal messages to get people to buy more snacks during the breaks. So, you know, you got to really think about all the garbage that we're letting into our minds. And, you know, we're real careful in my house, especially with the kids. About that, because it's craziness. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, Lindy, thank you for sharing that. It truly is, and you know, we're not here to say that there aren't real conditions out there that afflict people. But you reminded me of a gal that I knew growing up. Her name was Brooke. And she suffered with what they called, you know, depression, and the doctors would give her all these drugs. And all through high school, she suffered with this stuff. And then going into college, I met up with her once again, and she was happy, and she said it was totally gone and all this and that. And I said, well, what happened? And she told me of a religious experience through faith and prayer, how she was, cured of this this depression, and she no longer needed the medication. Just again, another powerful example of, you know, the mind and faith and so on and so forth. So yeah, appreciate those thoughts, Lindy.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it, Mr. Rick Martin?
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I'm going to brag about this because I developed such a defense against anything where illness is concerned. I don't have any pharmaceuticals in my system. I refuse to. Because the body, period, is able to heal itself. Everything you put in your body from a doctor is perform a chemical reaction. You can develop your body to control this. And I believe I've mastered this myself personally. So I'm going to brag about this because I can tell you, I think, Paul, you talk about incantations. If you feel something coming on, you can signal the chemical reaction in your body to turn away that. You can do that. I'm telling you, when you're feeling ill, or illness starting to come on, you can switch it over, start going into your reserve bank and pull out the chemicals you need to ward it off. You can, I feel great. You start saying, I feel great when something starts coming on. I'm telling you, you do that for a good 30 seconds to a minute, you'll find, you feel actually the chemicals going through your body. That reaction is taking place. In fact, you can right away catch something just by being around somebody that's ill, and just they talk about being ill, and all of a sudden you start to come on feeling something. This is evident. There's evidence of this everywhere you go. And if you're not mind sharp of this, you don't know. But when you see what's happening, you start to run away from it. Oh, I think I start to feel something coming on. Just because you hang around somebody, it becomes contagious. It's like it just transfers to you because you're thinking of it. The moment somebody says, I feel ill or I feel sick, you start to automatically, by an automatic reaction, pull yourself down to that level.
Hey, Rick, let me stop you here. Hey, if you're on the line, please press *6 to mute your line. We're getting some feedback. *6 if you're not speaking, please. Go ahead, Rick. That fixed it. Thanks.
All right. Great. So.
Oh, it's back again. *6 if you're not speaking, please. Go ahead. That sounds better, Rick.
Okay, right? So you know, the moment someone starts to, you're around somebody and they feel ill, automatically your response system, your mind's automatic recall mechanism, as one guy, I think, Ryan Angelo calls it, it starts to adopt that immediately, that very surrounding you're in. And so you start to become ill. Your mood changes. The moment you know you go somewhere, you go and visit somebody that's sick in the hospital, you start to feel that way. Your body, everything about you changes. You don't go inside feeling happy, do you? So the moment you start thinking about that, you start to bring on ill about you, ill feeling, ill attitude. And so you can alter things with your attitude of mind and just feeling and believing and using incantation to generate the chemical reaction in your body, and it's I've done it myself, and been
they
able to
stay
away from that.
Get away from
there's somebody talking on the line, a female. *6, please, to mute your line. You're talking right into the line. Sorry, Rick.
That's all right.
Rick, are you still there? Were you done? Or?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, but you notice, you notice the moment you start to think about, you're going to get whatever you're thinking about. You know, you can't really smile and feel happy inside when you're thinking about something that's sad. You know, you go inside the mirror, and look at yourself in the mirror and just try saying something negative and see what facial expression you get. That's why I say when you're communicating with somebody, the response you get, what you see is yourself bouncing back. Just go and try it. And say, oh, well, I feel sick inside the mirror, and try to see yourself what your expression on your facial expression is. And so all those things are a reaction, chemical reaction. And we know that the body can heal itself. All those chemicals do is speed it up. It just create a reaction, and that's what scientists have done. And you can do that. When you can make that, you can control that. But you have to believe you can do that. But if you don't, then you're not gonna be able to do it. So I'll pass that right back to you, Paul.
Great points, Rick. Thank you so much for your example. Love that you've mastered it. Appreciate that. Star Six, who's next?
Hey,
hi, Paul. Deborah.
Deborah, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, this one resonates very closely to my heart. My sister, when she was 12 years old, she grew. I can't remember if it was 6 or 8 inches in 1 year. We're a very tall family. And my mother took her to the doctor. At that time, she was playing basketball. She was very involved in the fun things that kids do. She played, you know, outside on her bike, just was very active. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you can no longer play sports. He said, I believe what he probably said was, you know, no sports for right now. But what my mother heard and what my sister heard is for the rest of your life, you may no longer play sports. So my sister took to the couch and, she has struggled with weight issues her entire life. She has struggled with not being healthy.
Star 6 to mute your line, please. Getting some feedback. Star 6. Sorry, Deborah. Go ahead.
It's okay. She's struggled with not being healthy. She's struggled with just so many things. The other thing is when she was very, very little, she was picky. You know, she would come to the table and she just wouldn't eat certain things. My mother spent her entire childhood life, and I got to say, I love my mother to death. She's my best friend. But she spent my sister's entire childhood life and into her teens and even her young adulthood of telling the story over and over and over again about how my sister was a picky eater. She didn't like vegetables. She didn't like things. Well, the power of suggestion is so incredible because my sister lived her life as if she didn't like anything. You know, she didn't like any of the good foods to eat, so she didn't eat them. You know, she had trouble as a kid getting up in the morning, so her entire life she struggled with, I'm not a morning person. Now, I'll tell you, when my daughter was 9 years old, and her knees were hurting her. She was on a trip to London with my sister, and they met me over there. And the whole time they were there, they were telling me, oh, I bet she's grown too much. I bet she's got the same problem. She's not going to be able to play sports. I told my sister and my mother, do not mention it. Do not talk about her knees in front of her ever. Because this, you know, no, she's not going to live the same life that my sister did. We're not going to suggest to her that she's got problems with her knees. If she needs a little Advil here and there, she'll get it. She's going to work through it. We're fine. So I am so passionate about this particular subject, the power of suggestion, and especially in ailing bodies. I'm lucky that I saw it firsthand. And I understood the power of the mind. You know, I started working with that 25 years ago. But I believe that I have helped myself and my family just live a much better, much stronger life because of understanding this principle and applying it daily. So powerful. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Deborah, for sharing those very powerful and relevant experiences from your life that illustrate exactly the power of what we're talking about today. Appreciate you for being on the line and sharing those. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul. This is Jana from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hi, Jana. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning. I want to just thank Deborah for sharing that with us. I've had an experience also as well. I have a bulging disc in my neck, and I started having these pains in my neck a couple of years ago, and my husband's like, you need to go to the chiropractor. So I went to the chiropractor, which led to physical therapy, which led to a specialist, which led to an MRI, all to find out I have this bulging disc. And I was focusing on this, and I'm telling you, it really consumes you when you have all these people surrounding you telling you, you know, this is something that's wrong with you. And I put on the prayer slip in my Sunday school class that, you know, please pray for, you know, my neck. And a friend suggested a book that I read, and it was a doctor who talked about the same thing, about how things are in your mind. And within probably 6 weeks, I started feeling better. And after I finally started, you know, quit focusing on the pain and focusing on, hey, you know what? My brain is much more stronger and powerful than any bulging disc in my neck. And I just started telling myself, I'm going to be fine. I can deal with this. And, I mean, it's still there today, and I'm doing fine. I have no problems. I don't take medicine for it anymore. And it just goes back to all the things that Napoleon talks about in this book about how powerful the mind is. So, anyway, just wanted to share that with you.
Fascinating, Jana. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. That's amazing. Star 6, who's next?
Well, good morning, guys. It's Doc Fran.
Hi, Doc.
Good morning, Doc.
And, you know, I'm loving listening to the stories. And the thing that I'm really enjoying the most is that virtually everyone on the call has flipped the message from Napoleon to indications of how you can overcome disease in yourself or prevent it, as Rick pointed out. And it really is amazing, and it's directly what I was speaking to when I talked about not going into agreements with your lab. And I forget which person talked about being labeled. And, you know, and you get labeled from many different people. It's whoever that individual assigns power to them and influence. And so, you know, and we are very susceptible to pick up negative labels. So the key is, you know, make your own decisions, as Rick said, as all of our speakers have mentioned. You know, if something negative is said or suggested to you, you can say thank you and then focus immediately on its opposite and think of the positive. And that is how you prevent having these insidious self-limiting beliefs implanted in your mind. And it is wonderful to watch. Whatever agreements you make or what beliefs you will develop, and whatever beliefs you develop are what manifestations you will get. So regardless of how you're labeled, if you refuse to go into agreement with that label, it will have no effect, and then by direct extension, no manifestation in your life. Back to you, Paul.
Excellent points, Doc, and you've had a lot of experience in your life with this exact thing, and you definitely know what you're talking about. You face things and overcome them in this exact area, so really appreciate those ideas. You know, one thing I wanted to throw out here is, in following the philosophy of Thinking Grow Rich, one of the things that Napoleon tells us to do is to, on a daily basis, spend 30 minutes thinking of the person we intend to become, thereby creating in our mind a clear mental picture of that person. This is something that, you know, we can always do better at. I know I can. But just one thought I had is, if we're in the habit of practicing meditation, which I'm on day three of my 14-day challenge. I gave myself to meditate for 30 minutes a day, so I'm really excited about about seeing that positive change in my life. But one of the things that we might consider doing during our 30-minute meditation time is when we're focusing on the picture of who we want to become, maybe think about the ideal picture of what we look like. Have that include, you know, health. What does our body look like? What does our energy level look like? How do we feel? That might be something that we could do that would be helpful. Just want to throw that idea out. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, everyone. It's Lisa White here from Ohio.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Hi. It's Felicia, by the way. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Oh, Felicia. I'm so sorry. Yes, Felicia White.
Yeah, no, not my fault. My fault. No problem. I just kind of wanted to go back to what Rick was talking about, who you're around. This is a personal story of for myself, my experience. The past 3 years, I have been working with both of my sisters. And one in particular, she is just a very, very negative person. And every day she would say she was, you know, Google all the medical symptoms. And she'd every single day say, I'm having a stroke. I'm having an aneurysm. I'm having a gallbladder attack. I'm having a heart attack. I mean, literally over and over, it was something different every 5 seconds. And turns out that my other sister ended up actually having two aneurysms rupture. I believe that she, you know, she just talked about it all the time, and it just kind of, you know, just created this toxic environment. Long story short, she's fine now, but I couldn't handle being around that every single day, the negativity and the toxic environment. So the point here is that sometimes you have to make choices and actually take action to get away from people who, you know, are bringing you down. If you're a positive person and you're around someone who's constantly toxic and negative, you need to remove yourself from that situation. So I did. I quit, and I'm, you know, working from home now full time and loving it. But, you know, I just wanted to touch on that subject of the importance of who you're around, what you allow yourself to, you know, to be around. So, you know, that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Felicia, thank you for sharing that. And glad to know your sister's okay, and also glad to know that you made what might be a tough decision, maybe was for you, and I know it might be for a lot of people, to eliminate that from our lives. Again, I've shared this quote before. Timothy Ferris in the 4-Hour Workweek said, we must eliminate negative people from our lives to think otherwise is masochistic. It really is self-inflicting harm on ourselves if we don't do that. So kudos to you for making that choice and moving forward. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, Joy.
Hey, Joy. Good morning.
Well, you know, with that being said, eliminating the negative people, I better quit my job then. I have to laugh because everybody's getting laid off of our job tomorrow, and we have to start a new one. And everybody's so down in the dumps, and, they're being taken out of their little comfort box. A lot of people don't like to be out of their comfort box, and here I'm just still dancing around and excited with the new change because change is good. So that being said, I just wanted to let you know I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be upbeat, and I don't care who's down in there because I know that change is good. Okay, back to you, Paul.
Awesome, Joy. Very empowering belief to have, and thank you for your example. Appreciate that. Who's next? Star 6.
Hey, it's Mike Hobbs here.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw out an example of, what we've been hearing, you know, a lot of different stories about. You know, there's always times where your doctors have told people, you know, you can't do this or you won't be able to do this anymore. And there's either two ways you can take it. Number one, you can just believe it and then just it just happens, kind of like what Deborah's story was. Or number two, you can prove them wrong, you know, and kind of go the opposite direction. And you've heard multiple stories of people who have actually taken that prove them wrong method, like Lance Armstrong, for example, who was told, you know, you have cancer and you can never ride again. And he proved them wrong by, you know, just not believing that, believing in himself, and won, you know, multiple Tour de France's after that. You know, and there's many, many stories. We hear it all the time. So, you know, you either have one choice. You can either just believe it, or you can go against it and be the positive route and prove it wrong. You know, you don't have to fall for those negative thoughts and those negative people.
Great thoughts, Mike. Thank you so much for sharing those. You reminded me of a quote we heard on the call yesterday from Todd in Baltimore, where he said, "Don't corner me, I live in a circle." And I was thinking about that actually last night when I was meditating, and I got this picture in my mind of Todd squatting down in like a basketball defensive position, and someone's coming at him, and, you know, he just runs around that circle and gets out right behind him. But that's a powerful picture that we can apply to just what you were saying, Mike. When somebody, a doctor or whoever, sends that negativity, you know, in terms of health or whatever, we live in a circle, you know. Okay, they can't put that. They can't put us in a corner with that. We can sidestep right around that. So appreciate that. Thanks for being on the call, Mike. Are you in the gym this morning?
I actually got out. I go early now.
Okay. I know you were calling in from the gym for quite a while. So thanks, man. Really appreciate being a part of this discussion.
Cool.
Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul. It's Marlies.
Hi, Marlies. Good morning.
Hi there. Yes, this is really also a topic that's close to my heart, and I think like most, and especially mothers, the health of your family, your children, and everyone you love really always is top priority. So I think that, yeah, of course, this is the most powerful, and it's something, fortunately, you can see how everyone is just really thinking about how we can create that kind of life where we can prevent illness, where we can be happy, healthy, etc. So everybody sounds so upbeat, and it shows. And I bet if we ask everybody on our call, how have you been feeling ever since you've been joining this call, I'm sure hardly anyone probably has been prone to any kind of cold discomfort or any kind of burden like that, physical burden, because it automatically just raises your whole vibration of well-being. You know, your state of mind obviously is reflected in the health, your physical health. The spiritual healing group that I'm working with, too, that's actually always the first thing that is being required. That we say you have to completely separate and, you know, from any kind of burden, dis-ease, illness, or whatever. You cannot just sit on it. You cannot talk about it. You cannot think of it. So it's obviously what Napoleon Hill has so eloquently explained and also found out, this tremendous truth at that time. That's where it all starts, because all illness actually starts on a spiritual level, on that kind of mind level. And it, when it shows up in the physical, it finally gets our attention and says, hey, somehow you've been doing something wrong as far as your state of mind, your thinking has happened. So this is, I would say, is the most powerful. Then, of course, it goes further than that. It's also honoring our body, this gift from God, that we take good care of it. And so that's why I wanted to mention, that's why I feel so grateful and absolutely excited to have an incredible, wonderful health food product that we can also support our health with. Because, again, if we have a sound mind, we want to make also sound, wonderful, positive decisions to support our health in other ways. So as you said, with the exercise and so much more, right, and good nutrition. So it is really all-encompassing. But we know, too, that there are many people who, at least I've been, and I have a lot of those that I'm also working with and praying with, who really have a tremendously difficult time to regain their health. And it seems many of them have been healers or in the healing professions. And I really believe it's mainly because it's been so difficult for them to separate themselves from the suffering of those that they want to help, and therefore also actually take it upon themselves. And so it's more difficult in a way for them to protect themselves from it. Here we want to separate ourselves, right, from that negativity and from those people who are complaining. But when they come to the health professional, that's all they're going to talk about. So I also just was going to mention something else, because this was brought up with labeling, right? I think the worst thing anybody can say or do is anything that you say after I am a diabetic, I am a cancer survivor. I mean, I just kind of scream, you know, within. And that's the first thing. I say, please separate that from whatever condition that you may have or may have had, but you are not that person. You are not that diabetic, etc. So I think just really being aware of that and being the kind of, what you also said, beacons of light, where we can just share our kind of understanding about it and helping those around us in a loving and very loving way, without really being critical, but really helping others also on their journey that way. Yeah, so there are many different examples, and they were given already on this call that I think are just absolutely powerful. So I just wanted to add just this little bit yet, okay? So thank you. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Marlies, thank you so much. A lot of power in what you said there. Everything that you said was very powerful. One thing you said is extremely, extremely powerful. Be careful what we say after the phrase, I am, because whatever we say after that, I am, tends to go into our identity, which becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We learn in psycho-cybernetics, the set of beliefs that we have about ourselves will play out automatically. And so the beliefs that we have about who we are, our identity, are particularly important and powerful. So appreciate you for pointing that out, Marlies. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Cornelius from Long Beach, California.
What was your name?
Cornelius from Long Beach, California.
Oh, Cornelius, good morning. Welcome to the call.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Yes, the reason why I called in today, you know, I have two sons, and I remember early on the doctor said that they had asthma, you know what I mean? And it's something that I had when I was a kid. But one thing I realized is that we never emphasized that to my son, that he had asthma, so that he couldn't exercise, he couldn't play sports or anything like that. And so we never had him take medicine. But he ended up running track, playing baseball, skateboarding every day. And to this day, I think years now, he's not taking any medicine for that so-called asthma. So it's very important, I think, that we reinforce to our kids that they are healthy, and so that they don't have the mindset that they need some type of medicine to make them better. And so to this day, he hasn't had to rely on that medicine, but just know he's healthy and can do anything he chooses to do without it.
Cornelius, really appreciate you sharing that experience, and good for you on helping your child completely overcome that affliction. I mean, and I love what you shared, because that's one of the really exciting things about what we're learning on this call. I mean, it translates into every aspect of our life. I'm a father. I have four children. And when I think about children, they're really at the mercy of their environment more so than many people. And we as parents have such a powerful impact on shaping their beliefs and shaping their reality. So, Cornelius, good for you. Thank you for sharing that. Really appreciate that example.
Thank you. Everyone have a great day.
You too.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
It's John from Chicago.
Hey, John.
How you doing this morning?
Great. Great to hear you this morning. Thanks for joining us.
There's a couple of things I was thinking about when you were talking about I am. I thought about Moses when Moses asked, who can I say that sent me? He says, I am. Tell them I am sent you. The other power I think about is over in John when he talks about when they came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, who are you? And when he said, I am, they all fell backwards. Just to illustrate the power of I am, we really don't know how much power those two words really have, but they really carry a lot of strength when you talk about I am. And to piggyback on the last guy who was just talking, when my kids were little, they're now grown, every day I would go into their bedrooms and really just kind of speak life into them. I believe, you know, the Bible talks about how life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so I would always encourage them and tell them that they're winners and they think they can do anything they want to. And the manifestation of that now is when I look at my children, they're grown now. My son is serving in the Air Force and my daughter's in college, and both of them bought their own cars when they needed to, and just really being productive members of society, you know, and leaders in their fields. I'm very proud of them. But, you know, the power of the spoken word means a whole lot. Back to you.
John, really appreciate you, my friend. Thank you. Absolutely powerful thoughts. I appreciate those biblical examples. You really illustrated the depth of those two words. And again, thank you for your inspiration in raising your children the way that you did and the success that you're seeing in them as a result of doing just that. Last night, I was helping my 4-year-old Camden brush his teeth, and we're standing in front of the mirror, and I pointed to the mirror and I said, Camden, point to yourself and say, I am so smart. My name is Camden and I am so smart. He teases me a little bit, but that stuff is so powerful, and just love hearing that, John. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Well, this is Rick again.
Hey, good morning, Rick, again.
Yeah. You know, if everyone would pay close attention to what's really happened about this subject today, that everyone can pretty much relate to it. It's a negative that we turn into a positive, and it's very interesting. When you start to feel and believe that this example works for a negative, it will work for a positive. Just the same. You know, it's what you think about really come about. Whatever you focus on, you're going to get. It's really that simple. And one way, if you're ever feeling something coming on, is to really start thinking of somebody else and take your mind off yourself and put it on someone else. And you'll be amazed at the weight that's lifted off your shoulders. It's incredible. Well, I want to point this out to you, though. You ever notice, because I go around a lot of different places during the days, and I've gone to different offices, and what I've noticed that people who are generally going to have a doctor's appointment are always going back. What the doctor has a habit of doing is says, I give you this prescription from the diagnosis, but come back and see me 3 weeks. Now, just before that week, that time come before they have to go to the doctor, they start thinking about their illness. They start thinking about going back to the doctor and their sickness or illness. It might be imaginary. But that creates a level of a circle, a vicious circle is what I call it. And the doctor doesn't know what's happening. Neither does the patient. It becomes automatic. So a week leading up to that, they start thinking about it. It's on their minds. I got to see my doctor. I got to see my doctor. And so when they come in, and most times they're going to say, well, I'm not feeling that well, simply because they've been thinking about it for a whole week. And it goes in the cycle. I've seen this all the time. I'm sure people on the line that witnessed this. If you're working in an environment where there are people around, watch it. Watch what I'm saying. Look in the history. You'll see the people are always going to the doctor. They're constantly going to the doctor. They give you some prescription, but come back and see me in 3 weeks. Come back and see me in 3 weeks. Watch it. Pay close attention to that. All right, back to you, Paul.
Thanks, Rick. Star 6, who's next? Got a few minutes left here.
Paul, Todd Young from Baltimore.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to everybody, and everybody's comments this morning are really, just to me, very profound and really right on target. And, you know, I'll say that, you know, my lesson with this chapter, it, you know, as many times as I read this book, I always wonder why Dr. Napoleon Hill, you know, put this fear of ill health in this book. And, you know, I had a grandpa who in 1998 got diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer, and he didn't want to have chemotherapy or any kind of radiation. Doctor pulled my mom into the room because my grandpa was, you know, elderly, and my mom was told by the doctor that my grandfather had about 30 to 60 days to live, and, you know, to prepare my grandfather. And, well, make a long story short, my mom never told my grandfather what the doctor told her, and my grandfather lived another 4.5 years. No chemotherapy, no radiation, no drugs, nothing. And my mom explained to my grandfather that he had had some inflammation in his body, and the doctor said that it'll go away. And so my mom wanted my grandfather to go home and, you know, die peacefully. Well, you know, it took him another 4.5 years. And you know, it's just the you know, the power of the mind. You know, it's very simple in the beginning of this book when Dr. Napoleon Hill says what the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve. And most people in life, you know, since doctors and health are such a talked about subject in our society takes the easy route out by saying and making excuses about being ill to not perform other actions in life. It's an excuse. And a lot of people in life really aren't sick. They make themselves sick by the power of thought. And it's just as easy to make yourself have 100% perfect health with the power of thought. And so, I've always believed that Napoleon Hill put this chapter in here to let everybody know and to make them just recognize pretty easily how strong the mind is, you know, with these examples, just like everybody's talked on this call, with their examples of other people's health and how other people have talked verbally, which is those vibrations that are going into our minds. You know, they're sick, but now they're saying things are making us sick, which is incredible. There's that transference of that vibration that's going into one's mind, which turns into a thought, which turns into belief subconsciously. That's why you don't want to hang around people that are sick. Next thing you know, you're going to get sick. There's a good example. Who are you hanging around? And hanging on these around these, you know, on these phone calls around people that are striving to be wealthy, striving to be healthy, striving to be better themselves as human beings here on the planet. It all starts with thought. So this chapter is really fantastic because we can all relate. We've all been sick before. We've all been physically sick, and we've also, I think, taken on, you know, that transference of that thought into its physical equivalent from somebody else who said they were sick. Well, guess what happens when you hang around people that are striving to be financially wealthy, which is the country that we're living in. We're in a capitalistic society. We practice free enterprise. That's what we do on this phone call. That's what we do in our companies that we're with. And so by having these positive thoughts that are in our brain now and getting away from the people that are sick, just get away from them because it's a good example of how powerful thought is. And I've always believed that's why Napoleon Hill put this chapter in here, and this part of this chapter of ill health is that we've all been sick before, so we understand that, you know, I think a lot of us really have used our mind to not be sick. In the military, if you're sick in the military, they go make you run 20 miles. And so it's amazing. I have a lot of friends and family in the military, and if you go to your commander, you tell them you're sick, they don't tell you to go sit in the bunk and sweat. They make you run. And what happens is while that soldier is running, he's actually telling himself, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, because he doesn't want to run those 20 miles. But he runs them anyway. And so the next time he gets sick, he tells his mind he's not sick, and so he's not sick. He goes out in the battlefield and does his job. And that's what we need to practice here with this company and what we're doing. But, Paul, back to you.
Mr. Todd from Baltimore, appreciate you, your insight, your wisdom, and your willingness to come out here on the line and share with us. Todd's been a student of Think and Grow Rich for many, many years, and just appreciate his commitment. You know, you think, and many people on the line here, same thing. We've been many people on the line have been students a lot longer than I have, and yet they're popping on this call, learning and sharing with one another. Success leaves clues. So appreciate those comments from everybody on the line. It's been a great call. Powerful, powerful, powerful lessons. And I do hope that we'll take these into our lives and be the healthy, vibrant, energetic people that we have the ability to be so that we can move forward and fulfill the potential that we have. We can help our own selves and our families and those we care about and many, 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 many people who are waiting for us to extend a hand of help to them and lift them up and help them climb those mountains with us. I do love you. I do appreciate you. I do believe in you. I do have faith in you. Let's get out there today. Make it a fabulous day. Have faith, take action, move forward with persistence, learn, climb those mountains, and come back tomorrow so we can continue to encourage and grow and learn with one another. Make it a great day, everyone. Thanks again. Take care. Bye-bye.